we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. I'm Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and it's a pleasure to spend the next half hour with you as we prepare ourselves for a glorious weekend. We're getting closer and closer to being two-thirds of the way through. Can you believe that we're already two-thirds of the way through 2017? It's hard to imagine that, but it really is true. We're getting closer and closer to cooler weather as well, and for that I am quite thankful. We want to say thank you today to the fine folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. If you need professional concrete work or block work done, I want to encourage you to give them a call, 321-536-5804. Only call them if you want the job done right, if you want it done well, if you want it done affordably, if you want to do it better than you can do it yourself. Those would be the only reasons you would call, is if you don't want to have any problems with this project in the future. Give them a call. They really are very good at what they do. We've used them at our church, a number of people from our church have had them do personal work as well. So we not only speak to them, speak about their work because of who they are, but because we have experienced their handiwork firsthand. So 321-536-5804. I also want to take one more opportunity to say thank you for listening. Invite you out to our services this Sunday, where I'm going to be preaching our last message in the Back to School series that we are doing. We have talked about, you know, we've got a teacher. Jesus is our teacher. He's a master teacher, and we've been challenging our teachers. We've got some new teachers that are going to be teaching some of our classes beginning next Sunday, not this coming Sunday, but the first Sunday in September. And so we're going to be having that be done. Now, there is something else that's taking place Sunday, and I haven't mentioned this very often, if at all, and that is my wife, for about the past year, and another lady in the church have been working with our kids in a program called Bible Quiz, Junior Bible Quiz. If you're about my age, you might remember sword drills, where you had kids turn to passages in the scripture and read what it was and introduce them with the Bible. And so they've been working on these quizzers for about a year, and they have gotten so proficient that they have thrown down the challenge to Pastor Bob this coming week, that they want to quiz Pastor Bob and to see how well they do. And so we're going to be having that little demonstration Sunday morning at the beginning of our service. And so I invite you to come and be a part of that. And then I will be preaching. We talked about Jesus being a master teacher. We have talked about, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And this Sunday I'm going to be sharing the final and very important sermon in that series, and we want to invite you there Sunday morning at 10:30. We are going to be starting a series September the 10th on pursuing greatness, biblical greatness, and that is going to be a very wonderful time, and encourage you to come and participate in that as well. It's going to go on for quite some time. So, with that being said, today we are going to go to the 29th Psalm. Yesterday we culminated in Psalm 28. Today, another Psalm of David, Psalm 29, verse number 1. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And I just want to remind you right now, we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, and peace. And we are specifically focused on the peace, the shalom of God at this point in time. The culmination of this psalm is a blessing from the Lord of peace, a proclamation on his or from his throne. But it begins with an action on our part. Specifically, there are two actions mentioned for you and I in verses 1 and 2. It says, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. You and I have got to give, we've got to come to that place where we give to God that which he deserves. He deserves glory and strength. The glory, it is due his name. It is not something that is going to be due when we get to heaven. It is due currently. The name of Jesus is the name that is above every name. It is the name at which every principality and power are going to bow their knee, and they are going to acknowledge that God is on the throne. I remember seeing a sign one time that someone had posted that said, I wish that Jesus and this other historical figure had met. I'm sure they would have got along well. And I said, well, they have. And when they met, that person's knee bowed and their tongue confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because it says every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I know that that may not be politically expedient. It may not be politically correct. But the word of God is true nonetheless. It was true when it was written. It was true 100 years ago. It is true now and it'll be true forever. God is due the glory. It's time that we give to him that which he deserves. Give him your best. You know, I have never regretted giving God my best. There have been some times when I have regretted not giving him my best. I specifically think of a revival, and I thought that I had reached the end of what God was going to do in that, only to awaken the next day to find out that I deprived myself of an even more remarkable encounter of God. You see, when people in biblical times went to the temple, they encountered different stages. There was the outer courts, there was the holy place, and then there was the Holy of Holies. There were different levels. Now, there were places that only Gentiles could go, and they couldn't go any further. And they would be restricted on the outside. There were places where the people could go, but there also came a place where they could go no further. And then there was the Holy of Holies, in which only the high priest could go in, and only on the prescribed day for the prescribed purpose could he go in. If he went in for any other reason, it would be the end of his life. And now I am so thankful that I don't have those restrictions. But there are going to be moves of God that come that people are going to, they're only comfortable going to that place of praise. And then they will say, you know what, this is, as long as things are full of life, as long as they're full of energy and the lights are going and the smoke is going, as long as there is something that is enticing to my flesh, it was a very noisy place. But when it gets into that more intimate place, then they say, you know what, I'm gonna drop out here. And then there are going to be places, well, as long as I can see what is going on. You see, the Holy of Holies, it did not have a natural source of illumination. There were no candlesticks. There was no sunlight in there. It was a place where the only illumination that was there was due to the Shekinah glory of God. God is due glory. I want to encourage you today, since the death of Jesus, the veil has been torn, and we have been granted access to the throne room of God, not just to where our flesh is comfortable, not just on a limited basis, but now we can come boldly before the throne of grace and find help in our time of need. It is time that we give God the glory and the honor that is due his name. He is also due worship. So when you come to worship on Sunday, it's going to be more than a song. It is more than just showing up. It is giving to God the thing that he is worth, he deserves. It's a conjuncted word, combined word between worth and ship. What is he worth to you? Is he worth being on time for? Is he worth giving him the everything that you've got? I believe that he is. Okay, it says, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. I want to describe to you right now that holiness is not an ugly word. It's not an ugly concept. It's not a list of rules, of do's and don'ts. It is the nature of God. Can you imagine what it is going to be like when we get to enter into the beauty of his holiness forever? See, it is not going to be a difficult thing to bow your knee and to use your tongue to declare the glory of God. You are going to say, God, you are worth so much more than I ever gave you. So it is time for us to stop making excuses for not giving. It is time for us to cease and desist from failing to worship God. It is time that we give him what he is due, give him what he deserves, and worship him because of who he is. Okay? That sets the stage. Okay? When we acknowledge that God is on the throne, listen to these next few verses and see if you can identify the recurring theme. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like calves, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says glory. Now in verse 3, it begins the voice of the Lord. Verse 4 begins the voice of the Lord. It concludes with the voice of the Lord. Verse 5 begins with the voice of the Lord. Verse 7 says the voice of the Lord. Verse 8, the voice of the Lord. Verse 9, the voice of the Lord. Do you notice that there is an emphasis that when we begin to give God that which he is due, when we begin to worship him in the beauty of his holiness, that God begins to speak. Now, there are several different things. It says, the voice of the Lord is over the waters, the God of glory thunders. That speaks to the power of his voice, the resonance of his voice, the authority of his voice. In other words, God is not speaking in a demure way. He is not speaking in a passive way. He is issuing a divine decree. It says his voice is more easily heard than the crashing waves. His voice will drown out the thunder of the most powerful thunderstorm. It says the voice of the Lord is powerful, and the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. When was the last time that you sat there and you said, wow, that is a powerful word? A week ago, Thursday, I was praying, and the word that came was, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I was believing that for our congregation, because we have had just a tremendous number of our people come under attack. And so it was, no financial attack will succeed against you. I was praying and believing that there would be no physical infirmity, that there would be no strife, that there would be no depression, there would be no discouragement, that any weapon that the enemy launched against the people of God, that weapon would fail, because God said no, as in none, zero of the weapons, zero fiery darts from the enemy will be successful in their attack against God's servants. It goes on to say that is the heritage of the servants of God. Okay? And so I took that as an authoritative word. I am standing on that promise for my wife, for my daughters, for our church family, for my staff that are dealing with complications right now. I'm dealing with that and saying, God, that is a powerful word. God, that is a majestic word. Now, what that means is that is a word spoken by the King of Kings and by the Lord of Lords. I'm just not looking for a flowery or a floral statement, a well-worded speech. I'm not looking for something that flows with a certain rhyme and rhythm. That when the voice of the Lord speaks, it is as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He speaks as my Savior, my healer, my coming King. And only a force more powerful than he can issue a greater decree. And since there is no greater force, there is no one that you can appeal to above God's decree. I'm going to take that as a majestic decree, that when the voice of the Lord speaks, it is as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's what the voice of the Lord speaking to me. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Now, you say, but I thought we're talking about peace. We are. We are. The cedars of Lebanon were not these little pine tree forests that we have now. You have to realize that trees in historical times grew to a massive girth, because there just wasn't that much of humanity that felled those timbers to utilize them for what they need. There used to be some very large forests out in the great Northwest. I've seen pictures where several men would have to grab hand to hand in order to circle some of these. And I'm not talking about the redwoods. I've seen pictures of those, but I haven't seen those up close and personal. But I'm talking about just regular cedar trees that were so massively large that it would take several people to encompass them. And with a single word, God can break a tree of that sort of girth. The voice of the Lord here in this passage speaks that the most formidable stronghold that you face in your life, that the voice of God can break it, splinter it, And it goes on and says later in verse number 9 that he can strip it bare. He can strip it of its bark. He can strip it of its life. He can strip it of its nutrition. He can strip it of its leaves, of everything that covered it, of everything that kept it protected. God can speak in such a way that the strongholds of the enemy can be devastated with just one word. When you read Revelation, you are going to find that God ends a battle with the sword that goes out of his mouth. God speaks in authoritative manner. It says the voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. It says he shakes the wilderness. I'm starting to, you know, get a little short on time here. So if I'll just let you look those things up. It was the bush that was aflame that captivated Moses' attention, but it was the voice that came out of that flame that compelled Moses' obedience. It was that voice that equipped him for the signs and wonders. So allow God to speak to you from the flames of his holiness, the flame of his presence. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. Now, when I think of wilderness, I think of a place that is untamed. A place where it's a place a pioneer would go, a place that has not received the structure yet, the organization. It has not been leveled. And yet God says here that his voice shakes the wilderness. I pray that God would speak in your situation, because this God who speaks provokes a response from everyone who's in the throne room, where everyone says glory. And when I see the word glory here in the New King James Version, it's with an exclamation point. I just want you to join with me today and shout glory to God, because he is speaking. He is decimating strongholds. He is the most powerful voice, the most pronounced voice that you will hear. He devastates the strongholds. He speaks with authority. He shakes the wilderness. And it says in verse number 9 that when he speaks, life comes forth. You do realize that it was when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," that the resurrection and the life became no longer theoretical. It became something that was understood by Mary and Martha and Lazarus and everyone in that day. It was when Jesus spoke and said, "Little girl, arise," that those who mocked him and laughed at him when he said, "She's not done yet," that all of a sudden they saw this little girl come back to life. God speaks because he is on the throne. He sits as king forever. And he says, when I speak, I've got something for my people today. I've got strength for them, and I will bless them with peace. Do you hear God speaking to you today? That he wants to impart to you the strength of Almighty God. You see, if you ask me for some help physically, there may be some things that I can help you with, but even though two have a better return on their labor than one, there are limitations. But when God says, "I want to strengthen you, I want to take you from strength to strength." Okay. Now, we live in a microwave society. We want to go from infant to world-class bodybuilder, world-class weightlifter. We want to go from that in the next 24 hours. And you got to realize that God wants to take you from strength to strength, because he's going to teach us lessons all along the journey. You can probably look back at your life and see that God has brought you from one place of strength to another place of strength. And now he is, I don't know if you noticed it, but sometimes the battles get more intense, but God's strength is never threatened. And your faith and my faith should say, you know what? God promised that he would speak strength into my life, and I'm going to see that strength manifest. And it says here, the Lord will bless his people with peace. That majestic, powerful, landscape-altering, life-giving decree of a king compared by none other speaks peace to you and to me. I don't know how that makes you feel, but when I put that in context of everything that we have just read, when he is able to dismantle some of the most intimidating sights, on when he speaks and mountains move, and then I hear that he is proclaiming peace over my life and over your life, I believe that he can bring it to pass. You know, there are a lot of people that will sometimes talk, their ability to talk is greater than their ability to deliver. But God's speech and his abilities are both perfectly aligned. So let me ask you today, are you his child? Because if you're his child, he wants to bless you with divine peace, the fruit of the Spirit. If you're not, I want to encourage you today to say yes to God being your Savior and your Lord. I don't want you to just cry out to him and ask him to get you out of the pickle that you're in, out of the problem that you're in. Say, God, I want you to speak with divine authority in my life, and I will not argue with you. I will say, glory, glory, because when you speak, glorious things are going to happen. Why don't you say this prayer with me here, and let's begin our weekend with a supernatural provision of peace. Father, I want to thank you that you love me. God, I want to thank you for sending Jesus to die upon the cross, to give himself so that my sins could be forgiven. Father, if you speak and the landscape can be altered, if you speak and fig trees can be uprooted, God, if you speak and mountains can be removed, and you speak forgiveness over my life, God, I know I am forgiven. I pray today, God, that every person listening to the sound of my voice would say yes to your forgiveness, yes to your lordship, yes to being your child. And Lord, for every person that is listening right now who is a child of the Most High God, I pray today that they would hear the voice of the Almighty God proclaiming strength and peace in every area of their life. God, thank you for your perfect peace. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.